Welcome to Bedknobs and Broomflakes, the podcast that talks about witches, man-witches, warlocks, sorcerers, and other magic practitioners in movies, television, comic books, books, and just about everything. We also talk about heroic and just plain awesome animals as our favorite familiars. And, God, has it been over a year since we've done that? Can I still say that?
I don't know. At this point, I feel like we have, at some point we're going to, because I had a bunch of research tabs opened up, but someday we will.
Jenny, come back and help me not be a liar. We also talk about witches in history, more like Jane talks about witches in history. Sorry, this show will include spoilers, but you've been warned. And if you haven't seen this movie, since it's been out since 1971, you only have yourself to blame, okay? Because it's for free on Tubi and YouTube, so seriously. My name is Linda, but this week you can call me Linda, Queen of the Cheeses.
And I'm Jane, and I am currently on my fourth 32-ounce bottle of water, because it is freaking hot over here.
And we have a special guest today! Yay!
Good times.
Yes. Care to introduce yourself, sir?
Hi, I'm Chris Roberts from I Saw It on Linden Street, but I guess you can call me King of the Storm Drain.
Yes.
Because we spend a lot of time there.
Yeah. That's where we're recording today.
It's a large storm drain. I'm really impressed. I'm used to, you know, the tiny ones that have no headspace, but the roominess is very impressive.
Oh, thank you. You got to keep the dank. And, you know, the flotsam and jetsam are always, you know, a must-have.
I mean, the fact that the level of mold and mildew isn't, you know, horribly over, you know, collected and building up, it's fascinating how well you've been able to maintain that with all the constant pouring water and lightning storms.
Oh, indeed. Yeah, come for the grime, stay for the magic.
Hopefully you'll find the Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles.
Well, no, there's not enough grime and, you know, toxic waste down there, clearly. They just never got to form.
We're missing ooze.
Yes! That's the secret. Oh!
Wah, wah.
You mean they're not secretly space aliens? And I'm sorry if anybody else understands that reference out there. Yeah. I also missed that movie, and I'm happy about it, but I know the theory.
So, yes, today we are talking about Simon, King of the Witches. If you listen to Cage's Kiss or our new podcast, Videorama, Adrian on there was the first to recommend it. And then Chris recommended it as well, and we're like, well, shit, I guess we have to do this. I'm glad that we did. I'm very glad that we did.
Linda is very easily influenced. It's another way of putting it.
Yes.
This stranger just comes out of nowhere and is like, you should watch this.
And I was like, okay. And I'm like, okay.
Gives you a blank videotape, no labeling whatsoever. You should watch this.
Hey, this video says I'm going to die in 7 days. All in all, I'd give it 4 stars.
That weird ladder thing didn't make sense, but you know.
I'm going to watch it again to see if there were any nuances I didn't pick up on. But yeah, it's true. I mean, somebody's like, I think if they were to make those like after school specials with me in them, they'd be very short. It would be like, hey, Linda, why don't you do some heroin? And it will make you, and I'll be like, okay.
Okie dokie.
it will make you cool. No, I'm on it.
Is this how you pull up the syringe? Just right? Oh, okay, we're going to cook it first. Oh, okay. Why do I hold on with a candle?
There's a fella in the park with a van who wants to talk to you. Sure.
Okie dokie. Why do you want to know my size? They're like flash forward to Linda in a well. Hey, mister, I've got your dog. If that's okay.
Oh, Nebraska.
This guy gave me a golden ticket and said he'd take me to his candy factory.
This is going to be fun. I don't know how I'm still alive. I'm one of the wonders of the world. This movie was directed by Bruce Kessler, and who actually directed quite a bit, but he was also born near us in Seattle, near Jane and myself, at least. He's also directed a lot of episodes of Heart to Heart, Mission Impossible, Baywatch Nights, and McCloud.
Sasquatch Under the Dock. It's always a sign of quality.
That sounds like a great
Baywatch
porn.
Nights. It was a sequel to Baywatch. I'm sorry, I missed some stuff.
Not a sequel, a concurrent series. Because when they weren't stopping, beach thieves by day and rescuing folks, they had to worry about all the creepy stuff that was going on at night. And it was X-Files was hot, so they had to come up with their own. You know, what if we did this, but it's by the beach?
Octopus came to be.
So there are boobs, right? And then and you've got Sasquatch and
possibly by the dock. Yeah. And, yeah. So it's everything you'd expect in Baywatch, but then suddenly it's dark, things are misty, and there might be some supernatural element involved. So, but that's about it.
If it's dark, how can you see the boobs jiggling?
I mean, they have lights. They're savage.
Well, you said it was misty and dark. You know, I'm trying to get an idea of how this works.
You know, Mitch is leading the crew with flashlights out into the surf, you know.
Why are the flashlights always trained on her boobs?
I was going to say, she always holds it, like, going down on her boobs. Like, overhead.
She just puts the flashlight right in between her cleavage. She's like, this is how I hold it.
Well, I mean, if your hands are full, that's pretty handy.
This is the story itself.
I mean, like, okay, so the first time, like, I got up in, like, Ren Faire clothes, I was just like, oh my god, I have a place for storage. Could put my bowl or my plate on my chest and eat. I'm just saying it's helpful, okay? So, anywho,
the writer, what movie are we talking about again? I'm sorry.
I swear I haven't even taken my muscle relaxers yet today, so.
And I'm sustaining myself purely on water, so this is very sober because alcohol, you know, dehydrates you. So, lots of water.
Okay. Robert Fippany. I hope I'm saying that right, but I love that last name. Fippany. He is was a writer, and apparently he was actually a practicing warlock. He only wrote one other screenplay, and that was for, I love how ridiculous this sounds, The Night of the Following Day. Mm-hmm. That starred Marlon Brando, Rita Moreno, and Richard Boone.
Love me some Richard Boone.
Who doesn't? So, I'm actually really glad that you recommended this. I found it to be really, really entertaining, and I like the weird, like, psychedelic type of stuff. That stuff that kind of, like, where you can get different stories out of it. But, Jane, it didn't sound like you were. I think your words were, it was a movie, ?
I have a problem with the pacing, I think is the best way of putting it. It felt like I have a couple of notes here where, like, so when they flee in the satanic ritual and mm-hmm. they're all chasing after him, it's like, first off, Turk has, almost half his clothes on, and it's like, get him! And then next they're in the mansion house. I'm like, so I guess they really weren't in any danger then, but that's good.
Well, I thought that was Wiccan.
Like, oh, yeah, Wiccan, you're right. I was trying to remember, because they had a bunch of different things. They had, like, an ankh, they had a goat, they had a woman lay naked with skulls and then Turk came over and like tried to move the star and everything away from her crotch. And she's like,
oh, a sacred artifact.
Yes.
So yeah, like that was one, that was the one that really stood out. But there are other moments where it's just like, I don't know like what happened there. Like I didn't, nothing needed to, but at the same time it was like, okay, so he was half naked and these group of people are chasing them out.
I have a guess. I think it was because, like, I had to watch it a second time to get it, because he's got that whole thing with the broom stick, and he's saying, like, you know, we'll fly, and if you're not gonna fly, then whatever. And I think he was pissed off because they were kind of making the men of the coven subservient in the ritual.
I picked up on that. Yeah.
Yeah.
He has disdain as he's watching them.
Yeah. And he's like, in this case, the broomstick is a dong. So he's basically saying, like, hey, you got to ride the dong to fly, buddy.
I was more getting that he was just, he was looking at it as if, like, this is fake shit, basically. You know, it's what a bunch of, like, rich assholes do and get together and hang out at their parties and think, like, oh, this is what we like to, this is, like, how it's supposed to work. And I thought that was more the disdain was just that level of agitation. So that's how I originally read it, so.
It kind of reminds me of the, you ever watch Moral Oral?
Yes!
Where he stumbles upon the heathless. Except they're all just eating food, like they're all in S&M gear, but no one has any interest in doing anything other than gorging themselves on food at the buffet. Like, to me, Simon has walked in on something that's akin to that. It's just a bunch of folks that are just kind of there, but they're not really sure why. But hey, there's brunch at the end of this, so they might as well stick around.
Wiggling their asses.
Will there be hot drinks? That's all we need to know.
They have cold cuts at the end.
I am so happy that you've watched Moral Oral because, like, my husband doesn't get it when I say, you mean my Johnston?
Oh, classic. Yes.
I'm going to pierce my Johnston. Man, I love that show.
I also have to admit, I got some really strong Jim Jones vibes from Simon. Can I just point that out?
Wow.
I'm just the way he spoke and everything. It was very reminiscent of some of the papers and speeches both Jim Jones and Charles Manson gave. I was like, whoa, this is a little creepy. Maybe I've just been, I even wrote and I was like, maybe I'm just listening to way too much, alt-right narratives to figure out their propaganda.
See, I don't think so, though, because at that time, God, it feels nasty putting it this way, but Charles Manson was kind of the hot topic.
Oh, yeah.
And I think, like, a lot of people, when they saw the trailer and all, like, the cover art and stuff for this movie, they were thinking, like, Charles Manson-esque sort of cult thing going on with orgies.
Yeah, but I'm more saying, like, the speeches and the way that Simon talked about himself, it was very grandiose. Like I said, I you know me, I have been researching way too much into alt-right stuff, so maybe that's just my brain picking up on that. But I was like, ooh, this is getting kind of creepy. Like I said, it's more Jim Jones speeches than anything else, but definitely lean into other current day wackadoos speech patterns.
That really explains the other day why you were punching me while telling me to list off my favorite
cereals.
Like, I'm starting to understand. Like, stop slapping me, Jane.
To be fair, they were gentle love slaps more than anything else. It wasn't like we were literally punching you.
Blink twice if you need us to extract you.
I'm so happy those guys are going to jail, hopefully. Oh, they're glad of trial. Sorry, I don't know if you know what we're talking about, Chris. The Proud Boys initiation rites are absolutely ridiculous.
I had heard some things, but I'm not up to speed on everything. So
okay.
No, I can imagine. Ugh. Yeah.
I think it involves shaking their butt naked and a goat and a skull.
Oh. Like that would make it more masculine than what they're doing. Let's put
it
that way.
Hi, Proud
Boys, if you ever are listening.
Ultraviolet shows up and starts yelling at them to get in line.
Although she's the only lady there. Except for their moms. Like, nobody knows why their moms are naked.
Use my ride.
Come on, Mom. Jeez, you're embarrassing me in front of the other boys.
Park the minivan round back and then meet me inside.
We're not ready for Totino's, Mom. Jeez.
You guys need anything? Some fruit punch? Tostitos? Okay, you guys enjoy your meeting. Oh, God love you.
You're messing up the orgy, Mom. Jeez.
I'll have to agree with you, Jane. I love this movie, obviously. I wouldn't have said, like, you guys should watch this if I didn't think it had value. But, I mean, it does – the pacing does – really change up in the middle of the film.
Yeah.
I mean, you have, honestly, it becomes Love American Style with witches in the middle and then decides to try to like get edgy. And I think part of the edginess was, like you were saying, Linda, like the way they probably wanted to market it, because they wanted to be like, this is witchcraft. Oh, this satanic stuff's really hot and controversial these days. Let's say there's an orgy. It's the world's most boring orgy. There's no orgy. Oh, because nothing's happening. They're standing in a line while some guy in the back heckles them holding a broom and a woman in the front yells at them. There's like, there's nothing to see. I totally get
just
that.
Just like every orgy I've been to.
You know.
Well, and I, it feels like, I guess maybe it also feels like they had like an idea or a plot in mind, and then they just kind of decided to change it up. Like, this was like, oh, wait, we're going to end it. Like, they had the ending in mind, but they're just like, oh, the way we're writing this isn't getting this way, so let's move it in this direction so we at least end it the way we wanted to. I was like,
yeah, because at first it seems like it's all about him getting revenge on that one guy
for a bad check.
Yeah, for almost getting him arrested.
Why don't you just rob him?
I kind of love that, though. Yeah. Like, so, and I'll totally agree with you. Like, Simon, beside his high tone talk, because yeah, he's very self-aggrandizing. He's very like, you people, you don't know anything. He is sort of like a cat made man, like in a certain standpoint. Just like, I'm better than all of you, and just get out of my hair. But to be fair, if you watch the film, you get to the end of the film, he's the only person that, honestly, everything he says, he can back up. Like, everything he says is going to happen, happens. Yeah. Everything he says he's going to do, he does. So I think it's sort of like maybe the boredom of living so many lives, of having to keep telling people, look, I got powers, you need to listen to me. And, like, now he's just bored with it, and he's just like, yeah. Cut to the chase. You call this an orgy? I've seen better. And then he just moves
I'll
on.
I'll show you an orgy. And there's this one single naked girl at his altar, and then it's a gay man who, you know.
Oh my God, I loved him so much.
Magnetic. Electric. Magnetic. Electric.
Magnetic. Charge. Electric. Charge. Well, now you all know how Jane and I get ready for each episode. We're putting Party City in business by getting all those red balloons.
That was another thing. What happened to that gay guy? Did he just, like, you know, literally bugger off or something? It's like, does he not talk about what the hell just happened to him? He's like, I was hunched over practically naked. Some guy, like, had a knife over my back. And then it was over, and they just let me go with a cookie and some milk.
I think Stanley's into that. I mean, I think he was enjoying himself. Like, they bring him down, they tie him up.
Yeah, at first he's like, ooh, this is going to be different. Like, do I have to, or do you charge for this? And then he's just looking bored, kind of like, it's
when
the living.
When is he going to put it in? Yeah. Well, there's something back there.
And Simon, I mean, this is, unintentionally, this whole movie is, to me, one of the greatest unintentional comedies.
Yes.
With very, very difficult pacing problems, but it's serious, but it doesn't have to be. It's funny. It's totally not intended to be. But, I mean, Simon tells you, come on down to my basement. I need you to help me charge my golden rod.
Yes!
And this man
the purple
is like,
dildo after a bit.
Yeah. And there's Linda going, okie dokie.
I mean, it's buyer beware. You know what you're getting into at a certain point. Like, wow, there's candles, there's a bed, there's all this weird, intricate, you know, religious paraphernalia. There's a knife that he keeps holding over me. Like, this doesn't seem to be the good time I had in mind. Like, and yet Stanley's like, where do you want to tie me down? It's like,
all I'm thinking is going, like, isn't the 1970s amazing before the 1980s happened and AIDS? Because I was like, dang, God, yeah. It must have been, like, so much fun, and then shit started to happen.
Things got serious.
Yeah, things got serious.
But I think that what he's practicing is, I think, like, the witch, quote-unquote, orgy that never was Wiccan. And I think he's practicing Thelema, I think. But it seems like that. And I think that was kind of his thing, was just like, these are a bunch of posers. And like, I am the witch. Oh, I think that was also another problem is Turk tells him that Sarah considers herself queen of the witches. And I think he was like, bitch, what? I'm the king. And I think that also caused a little contention there. But in those scenes, like the first scene with Linda, she was okay. So they were both naked, like butt naked. Mm-hmm. But then in the next scene, it shows them like after he fails and he drops the athame, and they both have tronies on. Like, what the hell happened?
Like, contracts?
What? Yeah, I guess
she had a contract that said, "I'm not going to show that part of me."
Well, to be fair, Andrew Prine, who plays Simon, mm-hmm. was married to Brenda Scott, who plays Linda, and they weren't just married; they were married 3 times.
Whoa!
They were married first in 1965 to 66, divorced, got remarried again from 1968 to 1969. Then they shot this film together in 71. And then sometime, perhaps Simon's charms worked their way back in when they were filming this scene, but they got married again from 73 to 78, which I think goes to show that Andrew Prine really, really has great conflict resolution skills. Because
well, one of those conflicts clearly lasted 7 years, so, or he didn't conflict in at least 7 years, whichever. The other one seemed to last like a year, so, hey, they
magnetic,
tried.
Electric.
She was too electric. Or magnetic. She was with pulse. That's, we'll go with that.
Well, I guess third time's the charm?
Perhaps. They're both divorced now and married to other people, I believe. But it's just, it was kind of like, if you have this on DVD, he gives a face-to-face interview and he's like, we were married at the time. Well, one of the times. It was like, oh, I see.
Yeah, I know he recommended her for the role. But, you know, frankly,
and I wanted to be half naked, and I wanted to be half naked. Yes. She should totally have this role and be half naked.
You read the script. Drop the laundry. Let's go.
Why are these notes all written in your handwriting? Shh.
I'd love to change it if I could, but
what you gonna
do? As he pulls out a red pen, more nudity.
Contracts, am I right?
Yeah. Robert has some changes to the scripts he handed to me this morning. Don't ask him about it. Just keep this between us. Cool. Yeah.
As Rose was like, we're like, why is she taking her clothes off? We're trying to have a PG movie.
Going on the sizzle reel.
Miss Scott, what are you doing? It was in the script right here in red. Huh? Oh, yeah, it's a change.
Shooting daggers with his eyes, just like, don't say anything.
Yeah, it's a different script. We just got it last minute. just do it. Let's practice in my trailer. Okay, so I have a question. I saw a couple different sources say that Turk is a gigolo, and that's how he gets his money, but I really don't think so.
Really?
I thought he was. I mean, based off of from the very beginning, mm-hmm. Simon asked Turk, like, how do you earn your bread? And he goes, mm-hmm. Oh, coyly, like, you know. And he's like, oh, all right. And that's when Simon took him under his wing, and we don't know the rest.
And when he's at the party, when he's first introducing Simon to Hercules, you know, when who just in modern times, especially who's built like that man is built, would dare to say their name is Hercules? Like, just,
I know.
It was just insane. This man is like a walking stick, and he's just like, my name's Hercules. And it's like, I'm sure. So, yeah.
That's Hercules' middle age, you know, in his prime. I'm sure he was, you know, just ripped like Atlas.
After the labors were done, he just let himself go. But it was more of a wasting of the muscles. He didn't get the beer gut. He instead just let it all go.
Well, he got into an MLM that was supposed to help him lose weight, but he went a little too far with the MLM.
Yeah, I can dig it. But he gets to the party, and when he's there, like, there's a bunch of, well, Stanley's one of the men that's feeling on young Turk, but there's a bunch of men, like, coming over and, like, tugging at his ear and, like, feeling his hair. And Turk's like, oh, this guy is so creepy. And it's like, I'm not saying Turk needs to love anybody pawing at him, but he should not be shocked if, when Simon's not around, that's how he makes his money. So you shouldn't be like, why is this old guy touching me? Oh, yeah.
Well, he also calls him, like, the F word later on.
So yes, like, he does.
Whoa!
But, yeah. Like,
1970s, I know, but still.
That's what I was thinking, because, like, I could see where you're being led to believe that he is a male prostitute. But then at the same time, like, he has to get that woman to want to have sex with him with a spell. And with Simon's help and his effluvium.
Wow.
Maybe he's just one of those lucky, or maybe he's one of those gigolos who actually, like, gets to have sex with women who pay him.
Well, but yes, then he's also, like, curious about what that, like, looking under the thing with the woman who's the sacred object or sacred artifact, whatever she is, in the not-so-orgy.
And he could go both ways. I mean, he does get to play the, oh, God, my brain just went blank. That is used in a cuckold. The name of the guy who's actually fucking the wife.
I'm not saying that he's, like, that he shouldn't be interested in both sex, but that, like, he seems, like, curious about women. And I'm thinking, like, you know, he's cute for the 70s, and, you know, he's kind of ripped, and, you know, like, I don't think he would have a problem getting the ladies, but also he does seem a little, like, prudish with what's his name later on, Stanley.
Mm-hmm.
And he's just like, how dare you? Like, this F word is, like, trying to pick me up. And the guy actually, Stanley says, like, well, that he's got money. He's got more money than Simon does. And he's still like, get away from me. And I'm thinking, like, if you wanted to earn some money, I think you would be like, okie dokie, let's go. Let's get this over with.
It also feels like Stanley's implying that he thinks that Turk and Simon have some sort of thing going on outside of...
Oh, yeah.
Somehow Turk being roped into just hanging out with Simon, which I was like, well, that was an interesting build of a relationship right there.
But again, that would make sense if Turk is, I view it as Turk is just, he's a hustler who's, he's gay for pay when it makes sense to him to support the lifestyle he wants to lead. Hence why he's still okay. interested in the ladies, but if he's down and out, he's willing to perhaps overlook his own sensibilities to make a quick buck. But it would then make sense that Stanley believes, like, he's now with Simon, because before, Turk would have dalliances with men, hence why he's cruising this Hercules party looking to hang out with other guys. So you come to this party, you come in with this other dude, perhaps a guy you saw a few weeks ago, so you leave with somebody else. So, you know, hence the I have more money than Simon. He thinks this is not a friendship or some sort of mentoring relationship. He thinks this is just the latest trick that Turk is servicing.
That makes sense. And then Simon seems to kind of cast like a bonding spell on him, where he I picked it up on the second watch, where he says something like about solidifying their, he almost makes it sound like their matrimonial like bond with some wine, when he's like bringing in the wood to build a platform. But you know, obviously he's not, there's nothing sexual going on between them except for him collecting his effluvium.
Sewer bros for life.
Yes.
Well, I did also appreciate him trying to help him with his erection by pointing a knife at him. He's like, it won't go down, it won't go away. Like, have you like tried magic. Masturbating? You could try masturbating. But it's like, oh look, it's magic. I just point a knife at you.
Yeah, he acts like he's about to chop it off.
I mean, I've heard stories, and somebody can correct me if I'm wrong, that sometimes, like, when they say, like, if it lasts for more than 4 hours, when they go to the hospital, it needs to get drained. I'm really sorry for all the guys out there who might be cringing right now, but I've heard that that's how they get
Dude,
it done.
I'm cringing.
I cringed the first time I heard that, because somebody was describing the actual process. I'm like, God!
I believe it's a gauge needle that goes into the, I think it's what, yep. corpus cavernosum, is, if I'm right. I'm not up on my anatomy too much, but I do know that it's not a pleasant thing.
Next
if you've
week,
ever had
sounding,
one.
Everybody. We're going to talk about sounding.
Oh, good God.
If you have any experience with it, write to broomflix@gmail.com. We want to hear your story.
Give Linda all the details.
Send your
all the details.
Dr. Chris says it's good.
Oh, okay. I couldn't help myself. I had to get a new sound bite. Here we go.
Effluvium, my boy. The ambrosial fluid from the instrument of love.
I mean, yeah.
I have never heard so many uses of the word effluvium or effluvial.
I mean, I think he's using it properly if you were to go back and look at the writings of Crowley or anything that yes. like Alan Parsons was doing. I believe they often talk about collecting the effluvium of life and for their
the
various
fucking time.
You know, that wonderful book yes. Sex and Rockets. I mean, there's yes. constantly talking, and it's just like, guys, we get it. Enough. I get it.
Yeah, a certain amount that they need. I'm just curious. Like, you know, he comes back. He's like, I got this. He's like, I need a teaspoon. That's 1/4 of a teaspoon. Go back and get more.
No, but you're right. I totally forgot about that, about, like, Crowley's book. It was just like, effluvium, 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 effluvial.
Again, excuse the pun, it's all over the place. It's just, you get tired of it. At a certain point, you're like, I understand what you're saying. Like,
is that like, the ooze?
Oh.
God,
is that like just a way to get it past the censors? Is that what I'm thinking?
I mean, everything.
Like, look, I need to publish this book, and they keep trying to cross out the word semen, so I got to come up with something so I can sell this book.
Hence, magic wand, whirling up a vortex. There's all these coded words, and you're just like, I get it, guys. Wink, wink, tongue in cheek. I get it.
Yeah, and that's another reason why I think he's practicing thelema, because that's it fits. But oh god. Yeah. A lot of effluvium though. But sorry, what were you gonna say?
Oh no, I'm just thinking, like, my aunt's gonna be listening to this at some point. I'm just
Oh no.
Hi, Aunt Jude.
Hi, Aunt Jude.
Hi, Aunt Jude.
I'm exactly like this in real life, so this is me.
Just, you know, the paths we find ourselves on and the roads we go down when we watch films about kings of witches who lives in the sewer and enjoy dark.
As you do.
As we do, you know.
It's a rite of passage.
We meet some interesting people along the way. We tell stories. We talk about Fluvian. And
it's about the journey.
Sometimes some of us wander off because somebody said they had Tootsie Rolls and they were, you know, okay with it. And the rest of us kind of come back okay.
And sometimes the van leaves.
Like, hey, where are we going?
She's actually the sixth Linda.
Yeah, Carlo doesn't want you to know that. He's got a basement of Lindas just waiting to be activated.
Well, you keep wandering off, I understand.
But I should mention that after this was released, a paperback novelization was published. Written by, no doubt this was a pen name, but Baldwin Hills. So,
yeah. That
if
sounds
you
like
want
a pen
that,
name to me.
Yeah. Like, I at least hope it was. It's not as obvious as my Casa Manchego or Chesty LaRue, but, it's available on Amazon. So if you're interested, it's there. I personally don't want another thing to read right now. I have enough, or else Jane's going to punish me with more Vampire Diaries.
Hey, you haven't even fulfilled the first one. You have to at least watch the season. But I mean, come on. There's two other spinoffs. There's the Originals and Legacies now. So we got to catch up. And you're going to have to watch all 15 seasons of Supernatural at some point so we can talk about Rowena. Hi, Supernatural fans. Yes, we will be covering that at some point.
I used to be a fan, but it just one season, it was just like, nah.
I understand. No, there's a couple of off seasons.
They wrote themselves into a corner. Like
They did. No, I agree. We can talk about this ad nauseum later.
Okay.
Because trust me, I have a rant.
Oh, and we will. Yeah, I don't know. I really like this. I can see what you're talking about, though, because it does seem a little, I don't know, like confused as to what it wants to be at times. Like it starts off making you think that it's going to be all about him getting
vengeance of some kind against. And he really only got vengeance. Well, in the very beginning, he got vengeance against the one guy who wrote him a bad check. And then afterwards, he basically goes on a spree of killing corrupt cops. So I'm like, all right. like, considering today's
well, that
thing,
happened.
All
right. Yeah. And then next thing you know, he's like, you know, telling Linda, don't get high. And she's like, okie dokie. And you know, like, he tells her not to get high. And then like almost 10 seconds later,
probably.
She's taking a toke. Like, dude, Linda, can you really not last that long? Like, Jesus Christ.
Well, you know that marijuana, it's a gateway drug.
The devil's weed.
Especially when your dad's the DA.
Yes.
look out, the DA's mad. I don't think I've ever heard anyone in common parlance comment on what the DA is doing in, you know, day to day. Like, maybe, although, like, a certain level, like, if you're, you know, within an organization, but usually the common man on the street is not worried about what the DA is going to think about this situation.
Clearly, you have not watched Green Arrow, or just Arrow, excuse me.
Superheroes need not apply to this situation, but I understand. I stand corrected.
Oh, boy. But, you know, for all the what the fuck with the plot, I found it entertaining. And then it gets a little psychedelic at the end where you're like, wait, did you just, like, have a psychedelic moment just to skip that part of the story? Like, hey, she's dead now.
Explaining.
Yes.
Yeah. The little black pills. She's dead. And she's crying out for help. And it was very almost trying to be Stanley Kubrick-esque for 2001 Space Odyssey was all I was thinking. I was like, did this skip a movie? Because I'm watching on Tubi and sometimes they go to the next movie right afterwards. I'm like, wait, what just happened here?
Well, yeah, it does kind of take like a sudden, like, thematic turn.
A hard turn.
Yeah.
It does, but even when it takes that hard turn, I apologize, I don't know, because you both kind of said it in your own way, so I don't know who to attribute said it first. It's sort of like they ran out of steam on the idea and they needed to get to the ending quickly, so it just becomes Simon does everything he says, the people who are going to be punished are going to be punished. It's working too well. Quick, kill Simon. Like, there's no bridge of logic of, well, why don't you ask him to stop it? We can't ask him to stop it. Just stab him. Like, just there's no, like, and by the way, we're his friends. Like, there's no in between. Like, it felt like there probably should have been a, for lack of a better term, a middle piece between that section of just, like, maybe a bridge to get us just from A to B, or Simon refusing, or perhaps some kind of conflict that would then necessitate his own death at the end, as opposed to it feels like they said, tomorrow we're out of money. How can we end here today?
Well, I started referring to the drug dealers of Exposition 1 and Exposition 2 midway through the movie.
Yeah, because I was like, wait, who the fuck is that?
Like, I knew that they were there when, like, that guy got the flower pot, like, on his head. Yeah. And they were supposed to, and then they stole the drugs that they had just sold him. But then they kind of, you know, scamper off and don't come back until a little bit later when everybody's, you know, they're dealing with all the corrupt officials and the random, really random police raids. It's like, man, they have some really strong power to raid somebody's basement and then comment on how the, you know, investigators can't grab the rod, and which was funny. It's like, it deserves, this commoner said this. We can't, it's compelling us not to grab it, but look! And then they just give it all back to him, like, you guys suck at your job.
Well, I guess we can't bust you. Here's your stuff back.
You have this rod that kind of makes flowers wilt just by getting it close to them.
Well, that's
but
weird.
Let's give it all back.
Here you go.
There's a Zodiac poster down there, a hell mouth, and this rod. he checks here. Out. Let him go.
Yeah, and a coat.
Love letters to Jodie Foster for some reason.
Mutated ninjas that are also turtles. Like, I don't know what's going on here, but
a giant rat dressed in a karate outfit that's had its throat slit because he needs to be the one in charge.
Oh, yeah. I think we've all kind of missed our opportunity to be real life Shredder.
Indeed.
But for all of that, I find it enjoyable. And I love, like, I keep laughing out loud at the part with Stanley.
There's there's a lot to laugh at. It's a great scene. It's so absurd. It's wonderful. It's that magic moment of when something, it's so bad, it comes around and becomes genius again. And I love this movie for that. Like, it takes itself so seriously. If you had a Riff Trax or an MST3K, this would be a perfect film for them to pick up.
I actually looked up to see if they had a Riff Trax or an MST3K. So I was like, please have it. Please have it. They don't.
It's so serious as a heart attack. It's like just beautiful to watch because you can watch it as it is, which is a very mediocre horror film. I don't know who can actually go like, that was scary. Yeah. Like, are you seriously? What? You know, like, no, it is a fun, goofy time capsule that is just, you can enjoy it at any time, shut your mind off and just sit back and relax and start laughing at the absurdity in front of you.
Definitely. And
go ahead. Sorry, Linda.
Oh, no, go ahead.
I was going to say, I feel like if I did watch this again, it would probably turn to a huge MST3K thing, and I'd probably watch with my husband so that we'd just sit there and go what the fuck?
Yeah. Order a pizza, get some drinks, sit back, watch it with friends, laugh. And it is a great film. And I mean, that's how I was introduced to it. I had friends that were like, you need to see this. And we sat down and we watched it and I fell in love with it. So, I mean, and I guess this back in the day was a filler movie. It was a cheap movie. This was on heavy, heavy rotation apparently on like HBO back in like the early 80s because they could just stick it on because nobody else is watching anything. They needed content. So this was a film that would just play in a loop, and I knew a bunch of people that were like, yeah, we grew up watching this, you need to see this. And I'm all the better for it, I would argue, when it comes to a fun cult film.
Well, it to my understanding, it did very poorly in the box office, and I could see that. Especially because, they make it look like, it's got this Charlie Manson feeling, there's going to be an orgy and, you know, all this stuff. And it's totally different. And it's, they say that it's a horror movie, but it's, I know that genre is totally relative. But I would never put it in that category.
No. No, he talks to trees. He has a conversation with a tree. And I don't mean in a Clint Eastwood singing way. I mean he talks to a deciduous tree for a 5-minute scene. And translates what it's saying to his girlfriend. It's ridiculous. It's awesome.
And Linda's just kind of like, I'm high. It's okay. I understand. But for me personally, if a guy started doing that, like took me out in the woods, started talking to a tree, I'd be like, oh shit, I just realized I forgot my cat in the oven. I gotta go. like, whoopsie.
But the tree gives candy when you cut it open. Okie dokie.
And it's a long walk back to the van.
Like, oh, okay, well, in that case.
Why don't you come see the sunset over this precarious cliff?
Okie dokie, then.
There's this huge stone slab out in the middle. I need you to just lay on it.
Oh, God. And, you know, we laugh about it, but I recall a moment in college where there was this girl came up to me in the parking lot with a bucket of dirt. And she was asking if I could give her a ride. And I was like, oh, you don't want to be in my car. It's got holes in the floor. It has mold. It literally has mold. And
you could lose your bucket of dirt on the road because there's holes in the car.
And it was actually true and sad, but true. And I did have mold in my car because of the holes. I was like, you don't want to be in there. She's like, it's okay. And I was like, well, you know, I'm probably going in the opposite direction. I'm not going very far. And, you know, I keep trying to get out of it. And she's like, that's okay. I'm not very far either. And I was like, son of a bitch. So then I'm like, I don't know what the fuck I'm doing. So I take her for a ride, and it's dark and she's leading me down this dirt driveway.
Does Broadway need more dirt?
That's like, fuck. Like, this isn't even a sexy way to die, damn it. Like, come on. And I was just like kind of, you know, like doing mental inventory of like things that I always wanted to say before dying. Should my last words be shpadoinkle? I don't know. Let me think about this. And then she just starts laughing out of nowhere. And I was like, yeah, definitely going to be murdered. But somehow, like, there was a house there. And she was like, okay, thank you. And I was like, yeah?
Are there sororities at Evergreen? Like, maybe no. This was like a pledge thing.
No. No, we don't have any Greek life.
Okay.
Wow.
Yeah, I'm trying to figure this one out, because I also want to know, why was she carrying a bucket of dirt? I feel like that's the real question here.
Well, you also have to remember, it's Evergreen. We are the hippie college.
I know, but I feel like she would have told you about the, you know, why she was carrying the bucket of dirt, you know, in a very elaborate way of how this was her artistic meaning, that dirt is life. And that life comes from dirt, and here's the bloody hand that I put in here to help grow a hand tree.
She was probably in some sort of ecology class, or I don't know. I know we had a couple, like, we had a farm, so I don't know. Who the hell knows? But I would just remember being like, you're not going to kill me? Like, are you sure?
She just put a curse on you.
No, she probably was thinking about it, but then saw my car and was just like, no, she has it hard enough as it is.
I was waiting for like a bridge out or some kind of like, you know, you live here now.
All right.
You're going to be my forest wife. Okay. Help yourself to some of this dirt.
Aw, it tastes like soil.
And tears. Don't forget tears.
I'm in danger.
Yeah, exactly. Oh, boy. But, yeah, so somehow I'm still alive, but Simon is not.
Simon gets stabbed by drug dealer Exposition 1.
Yeah, and they don't even really explain it. It kind of looks like, I don't know, like maybe they're setting it up to say that he was working for the gods and taking him down
I thought he was trying, it sounded like he was like trying to become one of them, and he was working, and they didn't want that to happen. Like,
oh, no, I mean, Simon was, but I'm saying that maybe drug dealer Exposition 1, yeah. Like, all of a sudden, because he didn't know why he did it. So it's like he was possessed for one moment, and
that's kind of what I assumed.
I think that maybe they're trying to say that a god took over his body or something, and I don't know.
Controlled him. I mean, it's Simon had to die because Simon was getting too up in himself.
Big for his britches.
Well, and then he says death is only temporary at the end. It's like, uh-huh.
Yeah. Yeah. He's just going to come back anyway.
he's claimed he's done it many times before.
Yes. And Linda with her weird poke-out nipples. She'll be back. They'll all be back. Who cares?
I kind of felt bad when Turk's like, can I be a warlock or a magician? And
he's like, no, like, you suck.
All I was thinking was, I just wanted to say, like, no, you don't have the right amount of metachlorians in you.
You're not clear.
Here, take these two e-meters in your hand. And tell me about the worst moment in your life at nauseam and keep adding stuff to it.
How many Phaetons do you think you have? Whatever you say, I'm going to triple that.
Here, give me your effluvium. no reason.
That's a couple of less thetans in you.
Would you like a Top Gun poster?
Free of charge. But what I like most is that when Drug Dealer Exposition 1 stabs him, he doesn't stab him in the chest or in the throat or anything. It's the stomach. Almost like the dong. And I'm like, dude, that's just rude. So, you know, he's dying a slow death there in the sewer.
Corrupt cop. It looks like he was, I mean, maybe not as dumb. Yeah. It was at least stabbing him in the gut. But again, corrupt cop.
Yeah.
And you knew Simon was going to do something with said corrupt cop to do his dark magic. Where, like, it's like, I'm killing you, but I'm going to use your body for various rites and purposes. Simon's just hanging out there waiting to die in the sewer. Like, he's going to be there for a few days at least, talking to the rats. Like, dying so slow that he probably could get up and walk out, like, get some help. The film didn't have to end, but, you know, budget.
I'm going to just crawl over here and turn off this lamp. I love that street lamp that just, like, turns on and goes off, and it's like, ooh.
Obviously, because you know lamps are on timers, right? Everybody knows lamps are on timers. This isn't impressive. It's just getting dark.
He's knitting. He's filing his taxes. He's doing other things while he's dying. He's trying to kill the time.
He has one of those cute little green visors that people used to wear in the shows and movies when they were working on their taxes. But it has a little pinnacle on the top.
He's learning how to embroider sewer home sweet sewer.
Oh, well, that's another thing I didn't understand. Okay, so he lives in the drain, whatever, the drain pipe, but he moves to that guy's basement, saying that he's a rabbi. And then he goes from there to that mansion, and he says thanks to Linda. Mm-hmm. And I'm like, when did that happen?
You took us through several major transitions at once. So I mean, speaking to the character's haughtiness, I love the opening where he like talks to the camera and he's like, you know. When it's like this, when it rains outside and everyone's inside, that's when I'm out. And it's like, you're out because you're going to be flushed out to sea if you stay in the storm drain. It's not like you're cool. Like, this isn't like, you're not doing like anything that's like, wow, that's badass. It's like, no, you're going to lose your life being flushed out into the sewer system.
And like, we see that happen because he pretends to leave all of his stuff behind. It's like,
we did. Yeah, how cool can you be? You left everything you own in the pipe and then it washed away. Like, kudos.
He's all nice and dry at the station. Yeah.
Looking good, feeling good. So
he's doing his laundry.
When he gets to, by the time he gets that bad check that becomes, you know, that piece of 20 minutes of mini vengeance that he's working on, he puts his satanic star symbol, I shouldn't even say satanic, it's his magical star symbol, because we're not associating that he's a warlock. He's doing his own version of everything. And the landlord is just such a gomer. He's like, oh yeah, I love Jewish people. And it's like, it's not even the right star.
I know. Like, so they're going like, first off, let's talk about the actual number of points to that star. Second, right. I would actually understand if you got pissed if your tenant just walked in there and right in front of you wrote something on the wall. It's like, dude, you do that after your landlord leaves. That's when you paint the rooms purple.
Like, do you not have a deposit? What is happening here?
He's like, well, that just lost your deposit right there.
and then in his transition, he moves from that basement to then when you were saying of like, oh, thanks, Linda, this is amazing. I love these new digs. And that's after the point of he's proven to Hercules that my magic works. I can I can mess you up with it. And I can also use it to benefit others.
And he's getting involved with those, again, exposition drug dealers and then trying to take on the DA. His quality of life just keeps improving as he does more and more things and shows his power to these people that are starting to, they're not really flocking around him like a cult leader, but they're at least saying, like, this guy has something about him. We want to hang on what he says. So it's like his stock keeps going up while technically life keeps getting worse for some reason.
Don't we all know that story?
You know, life was better when he was in the sewer.
When nobody knew him and everything was just perfectly fine. Just had to worry about being flushed out.
If I just had a dime for every time I said that. Life was so much easier when we were in the sewer.
Drinking this fine liqueur and wearing these lovely robes and not talking to a rat.
Every so often a clown walks by and says, yo, I'm going to go get these kids.
That's where he got the red balloon for Linda later. He's like, yeah, we all float. Yeah, thanks.
Appreciate Can I get two of those? Fine.
I met somebody. In the sewer?
Hey, you got any of that good effluvium? God damn it. Okay, I'm sorry. I'm angering myself. But yeah, so I don't know. Like, I found it delightful. And you're right. It's one of those movies that are kind of like in the same vein of such classics as The Room, where it's not meant to be hilarious, but it absolutely is. And it's a classic. And I don't know. I enjoyed the hell of it. It didn't make much sense at all, but I thought it was groovy. Jane.
I just want to say that I've never watched anything on Tubi until now, and the commercials weren't necessarily jarring, but there was like a weird moment where I can't remember which scene just kind of cut out. I think it was right when he's walking out of the house with the two exposition drug dealers, and suddenly it cuts to a Domino's commercial, and they brought back the Noid, and I had to make a note. I'm like, are they really bringing back the Noid? Like, wow, Tubi, okay. I guess Domino's is pretty much annoyed. And then, oh, so many booze commercials. I was like,
oh, yeah.
Okay, are you guys watching me? Because this is a little much right now. It's like, calm down to Total Wine.
Oh, like, my God, cool. Yes. All the Total Wine ones. And I was like, I should go to Total Wine.
Okay, I'm not that easily led. I was sitting there going like, I hate it when things are listening in on me. Because I really don't drink that much. I really don't.
Sure, Jane.
I only do it when Linda recommends a movie.
We actually met in the sewer drinking. It's like, wait, you come here to drink too? Cool. Did we just become best friends? Uh-huh.
Is that Sterno?
No, it's Mad Dog.
Oh, good.
Or Boons. That would be most likely. That would most likely be me in the sewer with Boons Farm, blue flavor.
A guy holding a bottle of Ripple is giving you looks like savage.
Much. Oh man, so I don't know, I feel like we've covered this. Do you guys have anything else to say about the movie or about hanging out in drain pipes?
I mean, you know how big our drain pipes actually are, Linda. You'd have to go out there with a humongous wrench just to get them off, so that's not gonna happen.
Oh yeah, in California you could actually hang out in them.
I mean, you could come hang out in the storm ditch outside my house if you really want to. I have to clean out the weeds still, but it's getting there. Wow. I have a ditch. That's basically what I'm saying. I have a ditch, Linda.
Well, good to know. I have a moat. So I guess this is the time where I say, please listen, subscribe, rate, and review Bednubs and Broomflicks on Apple Podcasts, Podchaser, and all other podcast platforms, especially on Apple Podcasts, because it helps us immensely helps other people find us. And yeah, so remember, you can find us on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram, although I'm going to be completely honest, I haven't really been active on any of them because I suck. And I'm very, very busy.
You're busy with stuff. It's okay. So am I.
But you can write to us at broomflix@gmail.com. And I am more likely to answer you there. It's B-R-O-O-M-F-L-I-C-K-S. We are enjoyable because we've got them licks at the end. Nah. You can find Dottie and me with our friend and co-host Adrian on our new podcast, Videorama, which came out on July 5th. You can catch up with us on Twitter at Videorama P. That's the letter P. Nothing kinky there. And yeah, so Jane, where can the people find you? In the storm ditch this time? Or
no, you can find me trying not to melt as I hopefully we'll get a new fan this week or can turn this one back on very soon. It's hot. It's so, so hot right now. I am not made for this weather.
You know, you should come over to my house and then tomorrow when I record Videorama with the camera, we'll just tell people to ignore you in the back in the kiddie pool with your bathing suit. Like, and that's Jane.
I'm like, I would probably like bring a bag of ice just to add to it. Yeah.
Drinking a pina colada. Chris, can you tell us more about your podcast?
Oh man, sure. It's I Saw It on Linden Street. It's our cult film, cinematic classics, and all points in between selection of movies. Basically, it's just movies that I like, I think are at least worthwhile, even some stuff I don't like, but I think it's worth talking about, and try to break it down, do a deep dive, talk about directors, actors, how the film was written, just anything I find interesting. We've been steady in doing so, of releasing hopefully an episode a week. We usually release on Mondays. You can find us at LSCEP on the Twitter. I'm also at LSCEP.com. I would love if you want to hear from us. We're at I Saw It at Linden Street, or I'm sorry, how great is this? I can't even give my own plugs to my own show. That's just how, like, stellar it is. Because so many people are breaking down my door. It's at LindenStreetCinemaExperience@gmail.com. I feel like now I need to come up with some sort of, like, OnlyFans page where it's me doing a little sewer posing just because we've talked about this. You know, you want to see a little warlock in the sewer action? Check me out. And, you know, we'll go from there.
Will you have a glowing purple rod?
You know, Stanley might be there. There might be a dirty mattress. And
you got to work that Patreon, man.
Work the Patreon. Yeah, for extra dollars, you know. You want to see Chris do a little more than just sewer posing? You know, join us. So, no, we would honestly love to have people come on by, check us out, give a listen, you know, subscribe if you're indifferent to us, give us a great rating if you love us, that sort of thing, and it'll be great. So, no. And
I just. Is the day in history where sewer posing became a thing?
I think more people should get into sewer posing.
Remember this day.
What? All the rats are strategically placed, and if you pay a dollar, you'll move one rat at a time.
Now, what sewer season are you? I'm more of a fall myself. That includes some cluttered leaves for that auburn glow. That half-dead possum really sets the mood in this low, sallow light.
Sure, I picked up hepatitis while posing, but I also learned mixed martial arts.
You know, stuff like that. I just want to take the opportunity. Thank you, guys. This has been so much fun.
Oh, no, thank you.
Thank you.
Yeah.
Seriously, it has been fun.
Yes, it's been so much fun, and this has been in the works for a while, and you're just, like, the greatest person on Twitter. And like,
oh, thank you.
Yeah, you're just amazing. So everybody check him out right now.
Oh, thank you. I appreciate
it. Right now. don't finish this episode. Just Just go straight.
Don't let us tell you what's going to happen next. Just go.
Yes.
Go. Turn it off.
Be surprised.
You're still listening, aren't you? I can tell you're still listening.
I'm talking to you, Lindas of the world. Get into that van. Listen to I saw it on Linden Street.
We only have 2 buckets of dirt on us now. I'm going to remember that story for a while, by the way.
I'm just going to go outside and see a bucket of dirt. With the cheese traps. Oh, piece of cheese. Oh, piece of cheese. So I'd like to thank Doug Walters and Red Wire Black Wire for allowing us to use their awesome song Compass. Check it out. Check out all their music. It's great.
And on next episode, we are getting back to the Throne of Glass series with the collection of short stories from Assassin's Blade. Enjoy. I'm not going to spoil anything because I don't want Linda to know what's about to happen. So, but yeah,
rot catch roll.
Up, read up.
Rot roll.
Nothing rot row. Don't worry. Abraxas is still alive. As yes. far as I know.
It's funny because that's where my mind immediately went. I was like, no. These are prequels. Abraxas can't be hurt. He's fine. Okay.
He can't be hurt because either he hasn't been born yet.
Okay, sorry. I've got the softness for this dragon character. So, Wyvern.
Yeah, I was going to say Wyvern. Wyvern.
Wyvern. Okay, so until then, what's that got to do with my knob?
A artfully posed sewer knob, I'll have you know.
Effluvium.
Effluvium cover knob.